Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another awesome podcast. It's Cody, Gotham's Caped Crusader. We're keeping it geekly. Yes, this is your number one stop for all things geek culture, from comic books to video games and everything in between. And I am so excited to be back. We had a couple days off just because I had a bug. I wasn't feeling the best. I was pretty sick about a week ago, and I had a couple days where I thought I was on the up and up, but that must have been the calm before the storm because it hit me hard. And let me tell you something. Whew. I'm feeling like $1 million today, so let's go ahead and dive into that geek culture before we check out those DC comics hot off the press. And the first thing we're going to be talking about today is Sega is quitting the Japanese arcade business after 50 years. After more than 50 years in the arcade business, it looks like Sega is finally pulling out, with all of the remaining arcades being sold to an arcade company called Genda Inc., which operates under the Geico brand. Now, with 2020 being a rather poor year for arcade revenue, Sega signaled this move by shifting 85% of its arcade shares to Genda. Now it has offloaded the rest. Now, currently stuck in the pandemic, gaming at home has been on the rise over the course of the last couple of years. While gaming at arcades has slowly but surely begun to die, it is always sad when we see an OG have to hang its hat, but who knows what the future may hold for Sega. Now, with that being said, we're going to be moving on to another shutdown. It looks like Hyperscape servers are shutting down April 28th. Yes, you heard that right. It looks like Ubisoft has announced that it's shutting down its servers and development on Hyperscape, its free-to-play Battle Royale game, officially on April 28th. And they said in a statement, "We set out to create a vertical, close quarters, and fast-paced shooter experience, and we are extremely grateful to our community for joining us on our journey. We will be taking key learnings from this game into future products." Now, being launched back in August 2020, the game's third and final season was released back in March 2021 with no substantial updates since then. Now, even though this game was closely integrated with Twitch, it really struggled to find any sort of audience. Viewers could interact with this game, such as being able to vote on where the match takes place or what kind of modifiers would be turned on. Now, it's a shame when a game has really cool ideas, but it doesn't have the reach or the audience that it needs to stay afloat. I think the writing was on the wall when its last update was in March, almost a year ago, but what are you going to do? Hopefully they take what they learned from this game and implement it in a different title, and that one has a lot more success. Leave a comment down below letting me know if you played this game and where you thought they could have done better or where they went wrong. Now, on to our last piece of news. It looks like Activision Blizzard Inc. on Tuesday refused to recognize its first union, setting the stage for an escalation of budding labor dispute. Yes, you heard that right. Activision Blizzard refuses to recognize the union that a group of 34 quality assurance testers are trying to form, and they voted last week to form it with the Communications Workers of America. The group said that it will consequently file a petition with the National Labor Relations Board. Now, in a statement, Activision pushed back against attempts for testers to organize as a standalone union and suggested that it will call for a vote to be extended to all of its Wisconsin-based Raven, which has more than 350 employees according to its LinkedIn data. The most important thing to the company is that each eligible employee has the opportunity to have their voice heard and their individual vote counted, and we think that all employees at Raven should have a say in this decision, said an Activision spokesman. Now, it looks like Activision Blizzard is definitely keen on going out swinging, so let me know in the comments down below if you're against the union or for it and why. With that being said, that does wrap up This Week in Geek, but stay tuned. We got those fresh polls coming right out the oven. We're going to be starting off hot with Robin issue number 10, written by Joshua Williamson, with art being done by Roger Cruz. Now, Mother of the Demon begins with Damian lost in time and space, witnessing the beginning of Mother Soul and her son. We find Mother Soul and Damian sitting at the base of the demon statue. It's here that we find Ra's al Ghul was the Sultan's physician, giving him and her both access to knowledge of the demon. We begin to see the rift form between the two, though, with the son claiming science is the only truth. Now, it's during this conversation Mother Soul begins coughing once more, and she tells her son that he's to be humankind's savior or destroy all that lives before dying. Or is she actually dead? Because she grabs Robin by the throat, claiming he needs a lesson. Her magic connects their demon blood, which allows them to witness the birth of their actual family history. Now, outside of the spell, we find Robin's friends surrounding them on the Lazarus Island, with Robin and Mother Soul bonded together. Thus, we are shown the birth of Ra's al Ghul's journey and the strife that formed between him and Mother Soul. Now, Robin issue number 10 is providing us a really in-depth backstory between Mother Soul and Ra's al Ghul, and I'm definitely wondering what is going to happen in Robin issue number 11. Is Robin going to be able to break this meditative state, or is he going to be trapped and bonded to the demon? Now, with that being said, we're going to be moving on to our next book of the week, which is going to be Teen Titans Academy issue number 11, written by Tim Sheridan, with art being done by Rafia Sandoval. Now, Explosion Part 1 begins with the senior Teen Titans facing off against Red Axe, as the Flash, Wallace, and Alenta all three are running, but they're unable to break the electromagnetic field with chaotic phase variants. Now, the field around Dane begins to come concentrate to protect Dane, with Red X still holding his ground firmly, unwilling to let them kill Dane. It's at this point we get a flashback of Red X at his apartment with his mentor 2 months ago, with them going back and forth about X defecting from the cause. And it's here we see that his mentor's ultimate goal is to protect Dane until he releases the apocalypse so they can pick off the Riders one by one. Now we transition back to Roy Harper leading the children to safety as Red X keeps telling the Teen Titans he is going to bring this tower down if they step forward, and as he charges up his attack, we see Raven grab onto everybody to protect them from the oncoming blast. With the combined efforts of the children outside holding this tower together, though, things are about to come to a boiling point as Dane is mere seconds away from bringing forth the apocalypse. Now, Red X is about to go up against an unexpected visitor, and things are about to get very climactic for everyone involved, and I'm wondering what is going to happen to the tower after this, because it is being literally held together by children. Now, with that being said, we're going to be moving on to our last book of the week, which is going to be Batman Detective Comics issue 1050, written by Mariko Tamaki, with art being done by Ivan Reis. The Tower Part 4 begins with a flashback of a wounded Huntress being overwhelmed by the Joker and his gang before Nightwing and Batman were able to rescue her. We then pivot to Nightwing, Batwoman, and Oracle talking about the Huntress and her recent mannerisms while Mark finally gets the karma he deserves, all while Anna Vulsion is ripping his eyes from his face, and the Huntress is having visions of this while in her bed. Now, with the tower on red alert, we transition to a month ago with the Huntress descending on a woman being assaulted by a creature infected by Dr. Vile's parasite. She then snaps and punches its head into a bloody pulp. Now, we come back to Dr. Ware preparing some medication for her, claiming that she had a nightmare, and while he goes off to pay off some nurses and clean the mess up, things are reaching a boiling point. We watch Dr. Ware berate Dr. Ocean on day 15, 9 days before his death. Now, with this being the landmark issue, Batman Detective Comic issue 1050, we finally got to see the identity of Dr. Ocean, and it blew my mind. And it gave me a little bit of an idea of how things are going to crumble before we see day 24. That does wrap up our fresh polls for the week. You can always catch me on all of my respective social media platforms at Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and so much more at JobForACody. And as always, if you liked today's video, be sure to hit like, subscribe, and turn on notifications. That being said, guys, keep it geekly.